Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Fresh ball falls upon us, and you need to be in the festive spirit. Light a candle, get some pumpkin spice, and make sure your balls look nice with the sponsors of today's show. Guess who they are? Manscaped. So nature may clear the leaves of their trees, but you'll need Manscaped's help to get you ready for the sweater weather. Get your pants puppies prepared for cupping season with a trim as refreshing as a fall breeze by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. So it's getting chilly outside, so it's time for flannels and cozy socks. But we can't forget to trim your balls, okay? You've heard of them. I mean, a lot of our listeners, you know this is one of our favorite sponsors. But it's time for them to join the ones that haven't. It's time for them to join the 9 million men worldwide using Manscaped and get the kit that covers it all. The Performance Package 4.0. It's all you need. It starts with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer with advanced skin-safe technology that reduces nicks and cuts to make raking the leaves a lot less painful. Plus the lawnmower, it has a 7,000 RPM motor, a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and a built-in 4,000K LED spotlight to help you see your parts of your body you haven't looked at in years. So once you've cleared the driveway, the Performance Package comes in hot with products to cool you down. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, I know Joe uses that and probably has to sleep with his wife.
Damn
and the
right.
Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, one to prevent stink and one to clear it up. And with a soothing aloe vera formula, move over pumpkin spice, fresh balls, and the smell of the season. So the Performance Package 4.0 caps off with two free gifts. Now, I'm not lying. The Manscaped boxers are the most comfortable boxers you'll ever wear. I mean, Cody, how many pairs you got? I've got like four pairs of these.
A lot. Wear them all the time. No, yeah. I got like 10.
Yeah. Yeah, the Shed Travel Bag. And it's a pretty cool bag to travel with. Perfect size. Got to put all the things in there. And that's one to hold your Manscaped goodies and one to hold your man goodies. So bring in the fall right and get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. It's a great deal with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code K100. As the leaves fall, make sure you have it all with Manscaped.
The great thing about this, even though they say it's for your nether regions, you can use it on your arms, your legs, your chest, under your arms, your head. Obviously, use a different one. And, you know, it comes with all sorts of deodorants and crop preservers. Joe used to suffer from swamp ass until he started to use the crop preserver. And
light
now
saver.
He smells halfway decent.
Yeah.
This is a must-have. So check it out. All three of us use it. All three of us swear by it. Stay groomed. Go to manscaped.com. Boom.
Next is some Jim Lennon's. Subject is in review. Thanks, you guys, for answering my previous Solo Sikoa question. This show rules. I want to ask you guys about Taya Valkyrie. I thought WWE did a real A-plus F-up when they released her and John Morrison. Them as a duo on TV would have been incredible. I mean, she can wrestle. She's hot as F, and she's a great wrestler. So when AEW signed her, I thought we were totally finally going to get her the mega push that she's been so ready for such a long time. Well, Conan and Disco, I would love if you could do a review of her run in AEW so far, if that's even possible. I think she's awesome, but I have no idea what that effing Tony Khan douche would even sign her. When was the last time she was on TV, Conan?
I don't know. It's been a while.
We're going to find out.
Has she been on Rampage or Collision or anything?
No.
She have heat?
I watch all the shows.
Does she have heat?
No.
They're just like using her.
She's very easy to get along with.
She was on Dark a few weeks ago. Her latest appearance on Dynamite was October 25th.
Dark. They still have Dark?
Dark matches. My bad. She was in a Dark match before Dynamite. But her last time on TV was Rampage, actually, on September 6th. Yeah.
Interesting. Next is from Gary Hans, and the subject is Fire Jarrett. Hey, guys.
What do you think of Taya?
I mean, she's a good character. She's decent size. She's a big girl. Like, they could do more with her. You know, maybe she had a couple stinkers for matches against some of those green girls.
Well, yeah, her and Jade.
I wonder if they're soured. Right. Yeah, I wonder if they're soured on that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really bad. It's for me, it's a little hard because, you know, I spent a lot of years helping cultivate her. Mm-hmm. She's very charismatic. She's really good at playing, like, roles, whatever role you put her in. Good character work. Her wrestling's good because she was trained in Mexico. She actually slimmed down like 20 pounds because last time I saw her, I was like, damn, you look good. And she was like, yeah, I lost 20, 25 pounds or something like that. I go, it's a shame because she has a lot to offer.
When was last time we saw her?
I want to say maybe the last Triple Mania, which was maybe in August.
Yeah, because she did look like she put on a few pounds. So she slimmed down.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm going to interrupt with a side question here because I don't think we spoke about it. It happened after recording. One of Ty's last in-ring matches before this Dark match was at Lucha Vavoom, where she teamed with Brian Kendrick against Ronda Rousey and Marina Shafir. And then a few weeks later, Ronda came out and had a Ring of Honor match. Well, what do you think about that, D.I.? They put Ronda on an unadvertised match on Ring of Honor.
I mean, I don't watch Ring of Honor and never will.
Yeah.
It's a colossal waste. But she's just doing that for her friends. Like, she's friends with Marina, so she's like, you know, trying to help them out.
Might be friends with Taya, right.
Right.
She
ain't going to be around long because she's trying to get pregnant again.
Yeah, so she's not signed. So, but yeah, Conan's right.
And that's an interesting little tidbit of information there, Conan. Next is from Gary Hans. Subject is Fire Jarrett. Hey, guys, just want to celebrate that we're coming to the anniversary of Bill Boddy's first K-100 meltdown when he reported that Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair was, quote, going to be a real fight, unquote, at Survivor Series. And that's right. Billy reported something wrong. Anyway, I don't even remember this. So I have to ask you guys about the recent ticket sales for AEW shows. AEW doing their TV tapings in sections of large arenas and still not selling the place out. My question is, who's responsible for this? I don't know a lot about wrestling business, but I do know that people want to point fingers and pass the blame. Could Jeff Jarrett get the heat for this and likely even up losing his job, as he's the guy responsible for booking the venues? I don't know that, but I will say this, and we've been saying this forever, is that, you know, AEW is doing the exact same thing that WWE is doing. They're producing weekly television. AEW is not doing things to grow their fan base, okay? WWE has done stuff to grow their fan base, and WWE is not having any issues filling up arenas because they have more fans. AEW needs to grow their fan base. If they don't grow their fan base, you're going to have this problem with your weekly TV and drawing people to come watch the shows. And that's just common sense, you know? So we can repeat. I can echo this every week, but I'm just doing it again, you know? But this isn't Jeff Jarrett's fault. You need to build. You need to bring your numbers up and get more people watch the show, so more people come to the shows. Got any comment, Conan?
Yeah, right. He can't be taking the heat for this. This is a company-wide problem, and you know, WWE. If there's something that they've showed everybody, including AAA, it's like you were trying to reach the masses. The Logan Pauls, the Bad Bunnies, are actually matches. They're not just walking out there like they do in AEW, and you forget what they even did.
Right.
And so, you know, they're always trying to grow their audience, and which seems something that you should have learned by now. You know, stop over catering to your hardcore fans. You know, they're the hardcores. They're your ride or dies.
They'll be there no matter what. Right. Even if your show stinks, they're still loyal and they'll still be there. So you need sometimes to take some risks to trying to draw new fans, and they're not willing to take the risks.
I can't find it, but I saw something about WWE's average attendance in, say, 2021 was like 6,000. 2022 was 7,000.
And now similar to AEW, and now the gap is
over 10,000.
Yeah,
over 10,000 average.
And let me tell you something that I saw Chris Jericho saying. This shows you that he still has that WWE ingrained in him. So that show where NXT brought out, like, they went head to head with AEW, and they brought out Cena and Undertaker and all that. He had told Tony, why don't you bring in Mike Tyson and Shaquille O'Neal and, like,
Snoop,
you know, other people to, you know, counter that. And that, I guess, you know, Tony didn't want to do it.
Right.
That's how you counter that.
Right. Yeah. You counter program.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. Next, let's do, you got to leave it in a couple minutes. Let's do this one more here. Forrester Grillo, and somebody is so overrated. K100 has a reputation for burying people when they've earned it, and also praising people when they've earned it. Recently, you guys have all been giving a ton of praise to Christian for his heel work at AEW. Here's my question, though. If the heel work is so good, why isn't he drawing? I watched Full Gear 2023, and even with Christian versus Edge and Sting in the six-man tag, the venue was 75% in darkness. People aren't buying tickets to Christian. People aren't tuning to watch him on TV. Really, it seems the only people who care are the loud marks in attendance. So I have to ask you guys, why do you think Christian isn't drawing for AEW if his work is apparently so good? Could he just be overrated? I mean, because Christian's not positioned as, like, a draw on that show. He's a heel. Like, heels don't draw. Like, heels draw, and, you know, heels do heel work, and the baby face coming to fight the heel is what draws. A heel building up a baby. You're drawing to watch the heel get beat, right, by the baby face. And usually the quality of the baby face is the draw. Like, you know, because it's a perfect example. If it's a weaker baby face, it gets a good heel. The you know, a bigger baby face gets a heel will draw more than the weaker one. And that's not on the, you know, that's just the heel doing his job. But it's up to the baby face to be the draw there, you know? It's not his fault. He's doing good TV. There's just a lot of, you know, the way they structured that television. Look, it's just, Glenn, you know, it's not his fault. Go ahead.
Here's the real thing. Not everything can be or needs to be a draw. You have supporting roles where you're like, oh, Christian's coming out. That's going to be good. I'm going to stay and I'm going to watch it.
Right.
You know, not everything's going to be a fucking draw. That you know, you're looking at this all wrong. Is he entertaining? Yes. Can he help rub somebody like Luchasaurus and the other guy by him, who I think is brutal? Nick Wayne. Is it Nick Wayne with him, right?
Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne.
Remember that brutal segment they had with his mom?
Right. Nick. Then they refer to her as Nick Wayne's mom. Yeah. She didn't have a name or anything.
Just brutal.
I don't love
and,
you.
So, you know, and he's experienced backstage. You can, you know, he can help talent. He can give the rub to other talent. There's so many things he can do. It isn't all about you, if you can draw or not. If every wrestler that was on the AAA roster, I use him on their ability to draw or not, I wouldn't have much of a roster. You have a supporting cast, and you have things that make the whole show look attractive.
Well, plus two, you don't have to draw, because on that show, their issue is keeping fans. As long as you don't lose fans, you kind of are a draw. Because if they're watching your segment and you're not losing fans, you gain some, you are kind of a draw.
Right.
Not maybe because the show isn't drawing, but if your segment gains interest, you're doing your job and you're a draw.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, that's not, you know, you can't look at Christian's numbers that he doesn't say, like, oh, well, he's not drawing. It's like, yeah, well, he's not. If you're not losing fans, you're keeping the fans' interest, which means you're successfully doing your job.
And when we report on,
dude, the guy's doing a great job.
Right. Yeah, of course.
This is too like nitpicky.
It is. And we're going to yellow card the guy, Forrester Grillo, for unsportsmanlike conduct here.
There's a lot of the AEW hate. Like, we'll get emails every other week too about, hey, Edge isn't drawing. Like, they want to blame one person, and that's not
right. Yeah.
When you need zucchini or deli ham, Instacart shoppers lend a hand. Add a little life to your cart. And if you want your bananas green, honey, it ain't no thing. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Hey, Mel. Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty...
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey! If you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm gonna get you that budget. Just as soon as... What?
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
So guess what, Conan?
What up?
K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed again. So Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thugs, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC, not the garbage they sell in the gas stations, which the gas station stuff is garbage. It is super potent, like THC on steroids. Has a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon, and it works like alcohol but with no hangover. You get to take the teaspoon by itself, or you can mix it with water or soda, whatever you want. You got flavors like cherry and grape, and both are delicious either way. So if you go to getblitz.com, that's getblitze.com, and use the code K100, you get 15% off. Now, I've tried this, and it comes perfect as advertised. Nice little comfortable buzz, quick onset, you know, you don't need a lot of it, and it tastes delicious. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at getblitz.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. Order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or at k100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 50% off with the code K100 at getblitze.com. Awesome product.
Okay, real quick, because we try everything on this show. Did you try it yet, Joe?
Well, I tried it before they were a sponsor, but the ones that Mickey just sent me, I tried this week, two nights. I used a little, I actually just
what
filled
flavor?
Up cherry, and I actually just filled up the cap and I put it in with like Coke or cherry Coke, and it tastes good. There's nothing medicine-y about it or whatever. It tastes good. I had a nice little buzz after 10 minutes and then I slept really well. So, I mean, no complaints at all.
So let me tell you what my experience was. When I did mine and I did a tablespoon, put another tablespoon. I actually had the first one with orange juice and the second one with some vodka. The second one, bro, kicked in really nice. What I liked about it, it wasn't a hard buzz and it, you know, so the nice little buzz, which you can keep kicking in by using more. Very, very, very nice. Highly recommended.
So that's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitz.com, getblitze.com.
Yo, Get Blitzed at getblitz.com. Boom.
Next one. So this is an interesting one. So Ryan DeMone, subject is, what happened to Mick Foley? What happened to Mick Foley? He's quit Twitter 4 times, but always returns. This time he's quitting because Media Matters is doing the exact same thing to Elon and X that L. Brandt Boswell and the Media Research Center did to Vince and the WWF while he was there. Why did he understand that it was BS back then, but now he believes everything a group like Media Matters says? It's sad that he's becoming the Rob Meathead Reiner of wrestling. Nobody doesn't like Mick. Yeah, I like Mick. Entertaining guy. But, bro, he is like the crown prince of virtue signaling in the wrestling community now. Like, you know, well, he's constantly, you know, it's absurd. I mean, you would think the guy would have. Go ahead.
As a big fan, I might be a little like I might be well versed on this. Mick hasn't changed. Mick has been like this for 25 years. He's always been very liberal minded. His books. There was a section of one of his wrestling books that went all in on Bush going into Iraq and stuff. It's always something that he's felt. I think social media made people more aware of it, but Mick hasn't changed. That's always been him. As far as leaving Twitter, someone said it had something to do with the January 6th hearings, but I don't know if that was true or not. But yeah, he's
How's that going to change anything? So how's that going to change anything? Because you quit Twitter four fucking times. I love Mick to death, one of my favorite people on earth, but he wasn't putting out tweets like he has lately. I think as he's gotten older, he's like, fuck it. If people don't like it, I don't give a fuck. Now, the Elon Musk thing, well, he sued Media Matters, right? Yep. Which is kind of like a progressive. That isn't even the word, bro, because these guys are not progressive. Okay. Right. Pick another fucking word. You know,
like what is it? Attack dog kind of, just like They try to manipulate. And,
they're kind of regressive, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But, you know, so what do you call this? I guess, you know, he was getting heat because, you know, they started that, you know, like all the other people do on Twitter, like they did to Vince Russo and they've done to me and others where they snitch tag companies. Oh, look, right. Elon Musk is, you right. know, is anti-Semitic and, you know, so basically what they did is they sent like big advertisers, Glenn, Amazon, like yeah. Comcast. They also own NBC Universal. They tagged all those motherfuckers. Right. And some of them, you know, stopped sponsoring him, you know. And right. So this is one of the things that he said. This is the thing that he said. And I don't know the exact quote, but he said something like the Anti-Defamation League, you know, likes to fucking attack the majority of the West, despite the majority of the West supporting the Jewish people in Israel. Right. That was his comment. Right.
Right. Right.
So, of course, you know. They went overboard and they're trying to fucking, you know, get all these fucking companies to not sponsor him anymore, which is right. bullshit.
They're trying to, let's call a spade, okay? And the Twitter files proved it. They, you know, they went in. Bro, Twitter, under the previous ownership, was a weapon for the Democrats to use on social media. They would suppress people. They would shadow ban people. They would suppress the flow of accurate information. It was just a tool they had. I think what they're trying to do now is they're trying to get it back. They're trying to go after Elon and have the government maybe have him give it up or something so they can take this thing back. Because like you know, it's like Elon's just been basically very free speech, and you know, and everybody like is trying to say, oh, Twitter's. Worse is as I get the fuck beginning.
Okay, so
I haven't seen any anti-Semitic content.
I found. Well, it ain't like he's the guy fucking doing the fucking algorithms and all. And you know, it ain't like he's on Twitter going, "Hey, you know, what's right. next to my quotes?" I just found the quote. Okay. Here's what he said. Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim they want people to stop using against them. Okay. And then it says, you have said the actual truth. Musk replied to the user. He wrote in another post, the Anti-Defamation League unjustly attacks the majority of the West, despite the majority of the West supporting the Jewish people in Israel. That's what he wrote. Okay. Right. Why would you stop sponsoring him for that? You know, so at the end of the day, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Let me say real quick. Yeah, you guys know a little bit more about Elon than I do, I think. So is he confirmed publicly that he's on the spectrum or Asperger's autistic, or is that just what people think?
Oh, come on, dude. If you can't tell that he is, he doesn't have to say shit.
So what I'm saying, he's bipolar.
Okay, so here's the thing about Asperger's, though. They will say things that are inappropriate, but they don't have ill intent.
Yeah, we know that.
This
is nothing that this is the thing how this story travels. Okay, and mm-hmm. it just gets the crux of the story gets. Bro, people think that are reading the story secondhand and stuff that Elon is posting anti-Semitic content.
Right,
he's not. There's people posting on X. Okay, and the way Media Matters did it, they created accounts, posted the next thing like friend. It was a complete manipulation. There's a tweet in here that shows that has a guy outlines exactly what they did, and basically what it is they're suing Media Matters for what is called as tortious interference. Okay, what a tort is in tortious interference is when you are disparaging somebody to try to ruin their relationship with a third party. So it's like right. if me and Conan are friends and you're going online and making up lies about us and manipulating dad, like maliciously trying to, you know, fracture our friendship and trying to get Conan, I can sue you for trying to ruin my relationship with Conan. Okay. And that's how what they're suing these guys.
Well, and let me just say something about Asperger's, bro. I find it very hard to believe that. Yeah, they do say things out of line and, you know, and things that are insensitive and all that. But, bro, this is the world's 6 billion people, richest man, okay, with fucking tunnels, that he's building tunnels in Vegas, okay? Right. The mm-hmm. SpaceX shit that just went up and fucking blew up again. Right. The fucking the electrical car, everything, bro. The guy's a fucking genius.
Right. Yeah. All I meant was, I've never seen that out of what I read of him, and if people misconstrue something like that, he's not saying it racist because he doesn't see it. He doesn't see racist stuff,
Joe, you know? Joe, the whole argument is so stupid because they're saying that here's their argument. Elon owns the platform. People on the platform are posting the anti-Semitic comment. They're trying to blame Elon for people posting anti-Semitic comments.
Okay, let me bring this out real quick.
Right,
just go.
Right.
How many weeks are we into the NFL? This guy's never wore the Phillies jersey, but now that they beat KC,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's a number five, though.
I hope they lose.
I'm representing McNabb, which is 15 years old. So
right,
it's not
I
necessarily
still Philadelphia Eagles shirt.
That shows you how.
Why would you be representing him? He's been out of the fucking game how many years?
Because he hasn't bought any merchandise for 15 years. That's how little of a fan he is.
I know. I just bought this.
That's probably the real reason. Yeah.
I got a Dawkins.
And just to prove us wrong, he will buy one and wear it next week. Like, oh, I had this in the closet. Yeah.
Tags hanging off.
Joe, if you ever land a girl and want to procreate, you know what you need, right?
Hey, what do I need?
The Legacy Test Stack, of course.
Oh,
so listen to this. Yeah, listen to this customer testimony from Alec in Virginia, who gave us permission to read this on the air. This is from our friends at LegacySubs.com. I'm a father of one, which came with ease. We've been trying to have another kid for 3.5 years now. I tried multiple things, including fertility drugs, but with no luck. I've been using the Test X9 and T-Assist for a month now, and I went to the doctor and took a sperm sample. My count was at 80%. It's never been anywhere close to that before. My wife took a pregnancy test 2 days later, and now she's pregnant. I don't know for sure if it's because of the products, but it's the only thing I've done differently, and all signs point to this being a key to my family's new expected child, and there are no words to express how much I appreciate that. I'm very particular about what supplements I use, but when I saw that Nick Aldis was behind this, I knew it had to be quality, so you have a loyal customer for life, unquote. I think that testimony says more than we ever could. So get your baby maker and go to LegacySubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySubs.com and the code K100 for 10% off. You got to give these products a try.
Yeah, and we get guys sending us pictures of weight that they've lost, people telling them that they use it when they got to study and concentrate. So they've been with us how long, Joe? 2 years?
A couple of years, yeah. And don't forget Jay Baca, who we had on our roundtable this week, longtime listener, is just an avid user of Legacy Subs. He came on, he looked a lot skinnier, and we found out he lost 70, 80 pounds down from, 380 or whatever. He's trying to get down further, but that's an amazing amount of weight to lose, and he looks good.
Get all your nutrients, all your supplements. They also have a woman's line done by Mickey James. You can check that all out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Next one's from Wilfredo Quinones, subject is creative segments. I was watching some classic WWE segments from back in the day. Booker T and Stone Cold in a mini market fight. Big Show and Bossman in a funeral. Austin and McMahon at the hospital. What do you guys think the WWE don't produce segments like that anymore in today's product? Thanks and happy Thanksgiving. They do kind of produce, that's few and far between that stuff. And plus, too, it takes a lot to – when you go off-site, okay, it costs money to produce. All right, so it's like, they're
and it's forever, bro, because you got to get people now walking into the shot, the lighting, it's kind of a bitch. And back then, there was like a war, so everybody was trying to put on their best TV. But they have done some cinematic matches, and they did do some stuff with Bray Wyatt that was kind of, very different. You know?
Right. Next is some Impact Entertainment, something that's AEW roster split. Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for answering my question last week. It meant a lot to me. No, I don't work for Impact Wrestling, LOL. I just wanted to use the Impact as a name, and I wanted to become a wrestler before I started my own family and saw how difficult it was going to be away from my family. My question to you guys is, wouldn't it be better to have a roster split in AEW, where more of the talents that came from the indies work Rampage and Collision, since wrestlers were mainly booked in the weekends and could be lead by guys like Jericho, Omega, Moxley, and Bryan Danielson, since they want to work all those guys anyways, and there's an audience for that, where those fans would go out to those indie shows anyways in the weekends and have more seasoned guys on Dynamite like Edge, Christian, MJF, and RVD. Very long sentence. No, brand splits don't work. That's been proven.
Yeah.
They have too many guys for Dynamite, and they need other guys to help draw, right, whether it's a lot or a little. And indie guys aren't going to do that.
Right. Next up's from Dale M. Fortunio, and the subject is D-Day Party. Partey. Hey, gang, picture this. Your grandfather's gripping his rifle ready to storm Normandy. Intensity and fear is in his mind, and all of a sudden, to his left, a clown comes out with balloons and a cake and confetti streamers. I'm getting ready for the deathmatch with Adam Page and Swerve, an intensity heat rivalry with an animosity about to commence. Right before they enter the arena, dance commences by a feckless manager on the entrance occurs. I'm sorry, but the company gets in their own way of trying to be serious just to make the seals clap in the front row. Would you guys even try to integrate this in any way to a blood feud? Bonus. Where was the most disappointing place you've ever eaten at on the road? You too, Joe. This is going to be a hot take. I was not impressed with Sabatino's in Baltimore. I didn't like the sauce. It was all watery and runny. It was, you know, everybody thought that, like, that's where all the boys go after the show. Like, so Sabatino's was a anybody listen to this that you're pretending that you like Sabatino's? I'm calling you out on that.
Yeah. Bam is from Baltimore. So Bam, write in and tell us what you think about that statement there. Right.
Also, me and Conan have been very vocal that the way Swerve's character is being presented, the Nana guy dancing around out there as his manager, doesn't fit with what you're trying to tell Swerve as. And so I would agree that was, you know, he should be probably managed. If Nana wants to do that, find another guy to manage and be a babyface manager, come out and have the people go dance along with
Mr. Dancer. You take a lot of his R away. And I'll give you an example. Remember when Roman, for like 2 weeks in a row, kept telling his cousin, I don't like you saying ye, cut it out.
Right.
That's what he should do. Cut the bullshit, dude. I'm here to do business. Right. You want to dance? Fucking yeah. So, yeah.
So
was there a question in here? I will agree with Sabatino's. Not having gone there, any of that cheese whiz bullshit that Joe eats is fucking disgusting. There were a couple Denny's, not all of them. There were a couple Denny's and Waffle Houses that had like an unsanitary vibe, like the menu had syrup on it or was stuck to the fucking table, and that grossed me out. So yeah,
I would just say never. I'm only answering because he asked me to. Yeah, don't get a cheesesteak or a hoagie anywhere in New Jersey if it's over 10 miles outside of Philly, because there's something wrong with their rolls. It never tastes right. Ugh.
Next is from John Kamapa, subject is new dirt sheet likes post. Will Ospreay signed with AEW officially, and I'm sure he's being very well paid. Good for him. Good for any wrestler makes as much money as he can while they can. Perhaps that's K100, though. Has Ospreay signing with AEW exposed the latest dirt sheet lie? In 2023, we've all seen the reports about how WWE has great interest in Jay White, Will Ospreay, Okada, Ibushi, only for them to shockingly debut with AEW. Ibushi in particular is a strange one because he himself said that he signed his deal with AEW in July, yet for months and months, people like Sapp and Meltzer have been reporting how he was talking with WWE. What I'm asking is, the new WWE has huge interest in signing this talent actually a cover-up for how the talent has already signed with AEW so they can do the AEW's where I really want to be stuff that they say in media scrums while Tony Khan sits beside them with his dorky smile and his marky smug face? Curious. I don't know. I don't know how these guys are negotiating, okay? But I know that WWE obviously had interest in Will Ospreay, and if they didn't, they're stupid, okay? But Will Ospreay saying, one of the deal breakers that their guess was is that he wanted to spend time back, a lot of time this time back in England. And that's kind of like a deal breaker for WWE. You got to be here. You got to stay in the States. You got to, like, you have to move to the United States if you want to work for WWE. If he wasn't willing to do that, then he's like, you know, but ultimately,
he used to say that. I'm sorry. Yeah, he used to say that. The point of this now was he's finally ready to commit to America. That's why he came over now to sign full time with somebody. This is the first time he was willing to do that.
Well, he signed with. Well, the funniest thing was, though, is they signed him. And they announced it, but then they said he's still not finished up with his New Japan deal. It's going to be a little bit of time before he comes in. So, I don't know. Like that. Yeah. Whatever.
Let me just say about this guy that thinks he basically is calling in question, like, that the dirt sheets are lying about talking to these guys. Is that basically the gist of it?
Kind
of,
yeah.
Or the dirt sheets are being manipulated to make it seem like WWE has interest to make AEW look cooler when they get the signing. You see?
All right.
Well, I can tell you this. They probably talked to all those guys. They'd be dumb not to. And I do know a fact, that there are guys that were going to sign with WWE, and Tony basically outbid them. In some cases, I felt he overpaid them. But if you remember, WWE was doing the same thing. They didn't want nobody going to AEW, so they were like overpaying everybody. And they're like, fuck this. Let him fucking get in debt and overpay all these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting with the MJF thing. I mean, if Tony, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's going to have to roll out the Brinks truck. But at the end of the day, it's like I told you. It's like I told you the other day when LAX said, bro, there's nothing left for us to do. What is there left for him to do?
Right. Yeah, well, what else is he going to do there? Yeah. He's already in an angle with like nine guys right now.
Right.
What does he do after that?
He already fought Punk, and he had a chain match, and he's done everything, just about.
Next is some key. Actually, Tony should not meet his asking price. Maybe that's what Tony's doing with him right now, is that he's definitely not going to like pay what he wants. And he's just going to use him for everything that he ever wanted, was going to use him for in the coming months going forward.
But whether you're a football team, a basketball team, a wrestling company, do you want to let your biggest draw and most popular guy go?
Probably not.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, but you can't be taking those massive hits. Cody, okay. So who to you, if MJF were to leave, who to you, Disco and Joe, would take his place?
I don't know. You could slot, if you pushed him right, you could slot Wardlow into that spot. I don't know. They haven't
MJF spot. Swerve.
Swerve's getting there.
Try Ricky Starks, push Ricky Starks up there.
Kind of undersized a little bit, but that's no bigger than anything. But here's the thing, okay? Is if you look at the handful of the guys at the top of both companies, all right, you know, WWE looked at their, you know, theirs and said, like, you know, like, what more can we do with Edge? Like, when he gets like $3 million a year. It's like, is there another feud? Like, he's literally wrestled almost everybody in the company. His last one, he wanted to wrestle Finn Balor. Who's next on his plate? And they're looking at it, probably saying, like, well, nobody that's going to draw money with. So they let AEW sign him. Well, I'm wondering if like Tony's thinking the same way with MJF. You know, okay, we'd like to keep this guy. He is a face, but like, what is left on his plate? And his act is getting kind of repetitive and stale. He's been doing the same thing, and he's a babyface now. And he's not. Let's face the facts.
Yeah,
he's not.
The only problem with that is whether it's getting repetitive or not, the people still love that guy. I have not heard the crowd reaction go down at all, and any phrase he says, they repeat. You know, whether it's kangaroo kick or fucking I'm your scumbag or suck my dick or whatever he says, they're chanting it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Him in the palm of their palms. Yeah.
Well, like Tony,
there's
like
always something to do.
Well, sorry. Tony is overpaying for these guys. I'm like, how much can you overpay and how, you know, we're like, bro, does all these guys at the top are basically going to be treating Tony like a money market and treating this like a money grab. They're going to get paid a fortune. Because there's like the perceived competition and he doesn't want to lose his guys. But honestly, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's like that Tony doesn't have the machine in place production wise and creatively wise to like, you know, take the assets in, pay him the money and get value out of what you're paying them.
Bro, and here's the problem.
He doesn't have the ability to do that yet. You know?
Here is the biggest problem. They've got all the talent in the world, but they don't have the creative backing it up. And that's what kills them.
Yeah. Next
this is kind of a spin-off question since we're talking salaries today and stuff. When you guys were in WCW, you know, you each were there from 95, 96 till the end. What did you think of your own compensation there? Was it? Did you feel it was fair, under? Or did you go, oh, shit,
My last contract was fair, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to what other guys were getting paid that I was working with, yeah. Absolutely. Next is from King Weasel, and the subject is La Nariz. Hey, K100 crew, absolutely love your show, and it really helps me mentally escape from the stress of life and really puts a smile on my soul. So for that, I owe you guys a debt of gratitude. First time question here for Conan. Would Conan be willing to be bringing Disco to AAA as a mask wrestler called La Nariz, or El Moro, wearing a mask that covered his whole face except his nose? Keep up the amazing work, and that's Fabian M. from Florida. Conan, what does La Nariz mean, and what is El Moro?
Yeah, Nariz means nose. And I have no idea why he would call you a morro, because that means like a little kid.
Right. Okay, so let's suspend the guy. Let's write
already
it down.
I like down. That.
I like
King
that.
Weasel already wrote it down? Yeah, King Weasel read it hard for a week.
Yep. There you go.
Next is from Ultra Frog. Subject is Warrior Stories. Hey guys, I know you guys have been asked and answered many, many questions about Warrior behind the scenes at WCW, but I was wondering, Conan, do you happen to have any dealings with Warrior during your WWE run as Latin Lover and Max Moon? I sometimes listen to Ted DiBiase's podcast, and he said that at times
That's
Warrior.
Latin Lover.
Yeah, it's like Latin Lover for sure.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, you know what? That was never my name, even though I was.
I know. Let's give some yellow card for misinformation.
Yeah.
At times, Warrior back then could be such a horrible person to people that most of the guys in the locker room couldn't tell if they were being ribbed or not. Conan, do you have any early 90s memories of Warrior being a douche? Or if not, any memories of him at all in the WWE era?
We've talked about Warrior before. Yes. If they look in the archive, do they put hashtag Warrior or what?
So usually you'll have that separate. If you go into lists, there will be a whole section of all Warrior-related emails and answers that came in.
Okay, Casey doesn't know who he usually is. Where is that? YouTube, right?
Keeping it 100 official on YouTube, yes. And you can.
But I will say this. I did see him cut one of the best promos I've ever seen anybody cut on their boss. He cut a promo that had to be heard to be believed on Vince McMahon. So before in WWE, they used to have like these sound booths. They kind of looked like a porta potty, but they were kind of like, you know, insulated so you could do promos in there and you couldn't hear the noise outside and vice versa. And bro, he cut a beautiful promo on him and he was like, yeah, Warrior, you know, it's okay if you're tired. He goes, fuck this, fuck that, because I'm not doing shit. He was like, okay, dude, just, you know, I understand you're tired. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And he would wear a jacket that said Ultimate Warrior with a picture airbrushed of him in the airport. And I actually asked him once, so it was one of my first shows, and I actually asked him, where was the fucking arena? And he told me to fuck off.
Jesus.
And what was funny is that then when he went to WCW, he talked to me like, he was like, hey, K-Dog, what's up, K-Dog? I was like, what?